Do do do. Boo boo boo. Boo boo boo. Boo 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 doo doo. Boo doo doo doo. Hey there, podcast listeners. Welcome to Chris and Tom's Youth Group Podcast. Boo doo doo doo. Boo doo 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 doo. The podcast where two youth group leaders try to figure out how to do youth group better. We should have got you to do the music while I did the intro. My name is Chris Morphew. I'm an author, youth group leader and school chaplain here in Sydney, Australia. And as always, joining me from Melbourne is author, speaker, youth leader and best friend of the podcast, Tom French. How you going, Tom?
I'm good. I didn't want to do the music because when I go to edit this and I put the music in, actually, then I'm going to be totally out.
It's the worst possible editing job I've given you there. But you don't have to put the music in this week. We did it.
I've been thinking about whether or not we should just leave it. Just then, I was like, should we keep it like this with just you making the sound out of your mouth? I don't know.
I'm very happy for you to do that. Listeners, you'll know. I feel like my singing was better than my delivery of the intro this week, to be honest, because without the music, I don't have the gusto that it takes to really just welcome people the way I want to in my heart.
Yeah.
But what can you do? We're trying our seventh experimental podcasting platform in the last three episodes. So hopefully this one will at least record clearly.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, anyway, something new for you, Tom. A little birthday treat on this, our 46th birthday.
Yes. Well, it's nice to be together for so long, Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the same amount of time as there have been US presidencies.
We're going to have to find some other reference point. It's because
I can start future casting the US election. I feel like that can only lead to good places.
There's also been in terms of American culture, I think, is it 53 Super Bowls? So we'll be getting up to Super Bowl numbers very soon. Good. Which I know is close to your heart, the Super Bowl.
Sure is. My beloved, what are they called again? Patriots. I've never watched them play a game, but they're my team.
Because you're a Patriot
yourself. Because my friend Karen dislikes them with a fiery passion. And so I feel like I want to bring balance to the force by loving them in front of her with the same fire.
Yeah, I think that's...
I hear they cheat a lot. This is what I've been told.
As we lean into the sports podcast, my opinions on the Patriots are deep and complex, particularly around the way that they do the tackles and I'm trying to think of things that actually happen in American football. They have first downs. I know that.
They do throwing?
They have flags.
They're good.
A flag gets thrown sometimes. I don't understand why anyone would need to throw a flag, but that happens.
Maybe they're angry about too much patriotism.
Yeah.
A flag.
And they get a touchdown, but no one touches anything down. Whereas like in rugby league, you have to put the ball down on the ground and that's called a try, which is like, it's not a try, it's a success.
You did it.
It's a well done. And then in American football, you don't put anything down. You don't touch down anywhere.
But sometimes they do a cool flip. I'm in it for the showboating. I do love showboatery. So which is, like those boards with like cheese and cold meats and stuff?
Yes. Yeah. What?
That's not rotary boards. Is that?
Yeah, okay. Well, then you would enjoy the Super Bowl because it's full of cheese plates.
Now,
okay.
remind me when we did that survey about everyone's favorite part of the podcast. Their favorite part was us just like talking absolute nonsense for the first five minutes, right?
I think most of the comments I got was, please more talk about sports that neither of you watch.
Yeah. Well, that's all of them.
I watched some of the Women's World Cup. And
well, that's true. I did as well.
Yeah, but I didn't tell anyone because it felt like we all got on board with the Women's World Cup and felt pretty good about ourselves watching women's sports. So I thought I'd not. I mean, I did feel good about myself, but great. I didn't tell anyone done. About it. Yeah, yeah.
Well done.
I don't even call it women's sport anymore. I just call it sport.
Yeah, I refer to them as sports and men's sports.
Yeah. I call
it's
them
about time.
I call them boys' sports.
Yeah, that's actually true to life, isn't it? All right. What? Any other sports thoughts? Can we call sports thoughts when it's when we transition into a sporting?
Well,
podcast?
Yes, because you can't talk about youth group. You'll need to talk about sports. I think. Yeah. So,
my new passion.
Yeah, boys sports with Chrissy and Tommy.
Chrisso and Tomo, surely.
Yeah, that's Chris. Yeah, good. All right, let's keep going. And but before we have to do that, we're still at youth group, so we can talk about youth group, I guess.
Yep. How was youth group last Friday, Tom?
Youth group was pretty fun. We had our
photo scavenger hunt. Yes. I'm so excited. Sixth annual. Tell me
it
about
was our sixth birthday. And it was really fun.
In the traditional annual sense of a birthday.
Yeah, yeah. It was quite the excitement. What happened?
Hang on a second. How do you mute on this new platform?
Not like that. Oh, you found the mute button. Well done. so I'll just keep talking. So we, leading up to it,
there were some hiccups in there too. Sorry, continue.
This is all a hiccup. This entire podcast is a hiccup.
Good. So,
all right. So I was trying to gauge how many young people we were going to get at youth group, and it turns out for the first time ever, I got all my RSVPs in except one before the day, which was amazing. I think that is thanks to me using WhatsApp to solicit responses rather than email. So there's a quick tip for you.
In a public forum with all the usual safeguards in place, I assume?
Yeah, well, it was actually with the parents. Like,
great.
I don't ask for RSVPs from the youth. I mean, if they tell me, that's good.
When you said the word solicit, I wanted to just really make sure it was clear on whom and what we were soliciting.
Anyway, RSVPs, just respond, just written things. My child is going to this event. That's all that happened. Anyway, so so that was quite helpful. So I got to a pretty good idea of the numbers. I knew there'd be a little bit of fluctuation, but I've had a pretty good idea. I had three more drivers lined up than I needed. So I was like, that'll be safe. And I was like, on the day, I'll dismiss at least one or two and then we'll see how we go. And then, as it turned out, I lost four drivers in the last 24 hours. And I replaced one of them. Ugh. And it turned, and we had like 2 leaders who were there who couldn't drive. We had 32 youth. And 32 seats available. Ugh. So it felt like the provision of God.
He who gathered much drivers did not gather too many, and he who gathered few drivers, that was okay too.
Yeah, that I didn't think about that passage, but it is that is the promise, the Exodus promise to us all. So we've been. It was pretty good, except what that meant was, one, we had 2 leaders had to stay behind with our leader, who was the man in the chair, who did all the tallying of votes, not votes, photos. Maybe I should explain how it all works, just for those who aren't long-time listeners.
I know it feels like everyone's been along with us for the whole journey, but that's probably wise.
Yeah, so the way it works is we have a list of, like 30 or 40 photos that the youth have to go and take, and they get a certain amount of points for whatever they take photos of. So The very first photo is they have to take a photo of their team and submit that, and they get 1 point for that, but they can't submit any other photos until they've submitted that photo. And then there's like a few photos along the way, like a photo of a VHS tape, a photo with someone's grandmother, photo outside your primary school, or photo with a firefighter. Then there's some which get a bit more complex, like we had if we have visiting different brands of supermarkets. So if you got a photo in Coles or one of the supermarket brands, then you got 5 points. But if you got two of the supermarket brands, then you got 15 points.
Great.
So 5 and then 10. And if you made it to Woolies, Coles, Audi and Foodworks, you got a total of 95 points because you got 5 for one, 10 for another, 30 for another and 50 for another. So it was just kind of fun. There was photos outside the churches that have been involved. I realized that we have another church that joins us for it, and they got themselves a church building this year, but I forgot, so I didn't include that church building in the scavenger hunt, which I felt bad about right in the middle of the scavenger hunt, but I had a car full of like year 6 and year 7 kids, so I didn't feel like I could express my distress to them.
Yeah, that's
because they probably wouldn't have understood why I was distressed about
it's pretty leaving niche distress.
That church out. And then we went all the way to the big ticket items, which was one was a trip out to the airport and one was a trip to the F1 track down at Albert Park, which I thought we should do because the Formula One is on this weekend.
You can.
Yeah, and we have some F1 fans in the youth group. And the F1 fans, they went to the Formula One track. I'm getting ahead of myself, but there you go. That's how it works. And then they take the photos in teams. They either have to have one person in the photo in the team or the whole team in the team, depending on what the rules say. And then they send them in. Previously, we've just had them text them straight to the leader. But this year, we created a WhatsApp group so that everyone could see what everyone else's entries were.
That's cool.
Yeah, which made it more exciting, I think. And so, yeah, we all got to see what everyone's doing. There were some which where you needed to join with another team to do, like one we had to make a human pyramid out of 6 people, another one where you had to have a photo of 10 people touching a pumpkin, which meant that at one point we'd just taken a photo outside one of the churches. There's another team on their way to take that photo. And as we passed them, I yelled at their leader, "Would you like to touch a pumpkin with me?" And it was entirely appropriate, but it's one of those phrases that doesn't sound right.
Would you have been allowed to invite members of the public to touch a pumpkin with you?
You could. You could
while you're
get random strangers
or whatever,
doing pumpkin touching.
You guys want to come over here and help me touch this pumpkin?
Yeah, but no one did that. They just other teams did it. Heading back to the beginning. At the beginning of the night, we had 32 youth, but then we had the youth group that joined.
Wait, how many youth did you have at the end of the night?
31. Yeah.
Okay.
So that was one of the photos was dump one of your team members. No, we had 32. We came back. We left with 32 and came back with 32.
Sorry, your intonation made me worry for a moment.
No, because I'm about to explain that one of the issues that we had was that the youth group that visited us, they had 5 youth. Mm-hmm. And then there was one group of girls from my youth group which had 3 youth. And if you put them together, you have 8 youth.
That's 8. Still not enough to touch a pumpkin.
Not enough to touch a pumpkin, but exactly the amount that you would need in a car, like a car with 5 seats, one of them is the driver, 4 of them are youth. And so then we were like, okay, we've got to solve this problem, put them together. And I chatted to them. I was like, I got them all together. I got them to talk about, what their strengths were, what they would bring to the team, and encourage one person to make the swap. From either way, it could work. Like, one of the 3 could join we could have figured it out, but no one wanted to do it. And so in the end, we had
nothing to do but let one of the teenagers drive.
That's exactly what we did, and it was a success. I handed it over to one of the other youth leaders to just quickly like write up a like 1-2, 1-2, 1-2 on like eight sheets of paper, and then they had to like pull them out of a hat, and we got a randomly created group, which meant that there was one girl from our youth group who was stuck with three youth from the other youth group, which I don't think was that fun, but I heard things improved by the end. And she was a good sport about it. But
that's
worst
possible combination, really. Like, there's no way to math it out so it's even a bit fair.
No, and it's one of those things where it's like what we were asking them to do was really difficult. If you're a teenager, like, joining up with a bunch of other random teenagers is not, it's just not fun. Like, you don't want to do it in any... you've got to be a very particular type of young person to think that that's an exciting thing to do. And so I felt bad, but I also was like, there is no way to do this other than making this happen. But the other thing that I thought, which I probably should have encouraged, was that the one youth who decided to change, or the one youth who decided to take the hit, if they actually volunteered to do it, would actually have felt good about themselves. Like they would have done it and they would have been really pleased that they made that choice. But the difference between being forced to do something difficult and choosing to do something difficult is a big difference in how you're going to actually feel about the outcome of the situation. Yeah. So I should have, I think, thought... If I'd thought about it more, then I would have said that. But so next time it happens, then I'll be able to have that conversation. But we got there in the end, and teams competed. I had a group of year 6 and year 7 youth who they all had fun together. It was the night that Macca's, like, systems all broke down.
Oh, yeah.
So we went to, like, a bunch of us had... one of the photos, you have to take a photo of you having dinner together. And so a bunch of teams went to McDonald's and then lost a lot of time trying to, like, get food at McDonald's when the international McDonald's systems had collapsed.
I am astonished that the Macca's infrastructure is so globally integrated.
Yeah.
That you can have a global shutdown.
Yeah, it is amazing. Like, I mean, there's another podcast episode about Macca's. I don't know. Someone else can do it. Anyway, so that affected us, but my team was never really going to win. They weren't that great at strategizing, but they had fun together. Great. And there was a team that was much better at it, and they won. In fact, the team that won was the team that lost last year, so that was a nice
redemption
turnaround for
story.
The books. And then we all came back together, and we had a... we were there to have a talk, but there was one team that was very late in getting back because they took a wrong turn, which instead of, for those people who are Melbourne locals, instead of heading to Brunswick where we meet, they accidentally headed across the Westgate Bridge.
Oh, no.
It was like a 20-minute detour, and which was fine, except that we were waiting to do the talk, and I was trying to work out, do I do the talk when they're not here and then they miss out on the talk, or do I wait for them in the hopes that they'll get here in time to fit the talk in? And eventually we got to the point where I was like, I'm just going to have to do it without them here. But it was kind of like I was the whole time, I was like, I don't want anyone to miss out on the actual bit where we talk about Jesus. Mm. And we talked about Jesus, the parable of the lost sheep, and how the effort you put into looking for something reflects how you feel about it, and the fact that Jesus went from heaven to earth and death and back to bring us into God's family is a reflection of how he feels about us. So it was a shortened talk. I was fairly happy with it, but it was that question of, like, you know, how much do we hold off for the few compared to the many, which is somewhat of a reflection of the talk, but in the end we didn't go looking for those lost people. We just let them turn up late and miss the talk. And the last thing that was interesting was that during the talk, a kid put their hand up, and and like they had some important thing to ask. And I was like, do I take it? Do I accept it or not? We might get distracted. I was like, I'll ask you at the end. Hold off. And then at the end of the talk, I finished and I said, all right, what did you want to say? And he said, does anyone want my pumpkin? And then,
good call.
And I was like, enough. Yeah, thanks. I made the call. So there you go. That was our night. And I mean, I guess you've heard some reflections in there already.
I'm surprised did they buy a pumpkin?
Yeah, they bought a pumpkin. In the end, actually, they left the pumpkin at the church, which they wanted to, I think some of them wanted to take it home, but then they left it, and so I took it home and I chopped it up today to make some roast pumpkin out of. So
fantastic.
Yeah, perks of youth ministry.
Pressed by 10 or more youth.
Yeah, but it was an unpeeled pumpkin, so
yeah, okay.
Not too fussed.
Better than you know, making pumpkin soup and they all dunk a hand in. There's a lot of ways it could have done.
Yeah.
Worse. Anyway, reflections.
So I think my reflections are like one of the things that, you know, we talk about sometimes on this is it's worth putting in the effort sometimes. Mm. And this is one of those activities that's definitely worth putting the effort in. Not, I couldn't do it every week and I wouldn't want to do it every week because the culture of our youth group would be about big, exciting activities rather than actually responding, like coming together to hear from God's word and to respond to God's word together and to encourage each other in our love for Jesus. But as a one-off event, it's worth it.
Nuance, I think, that like you want to do the big things, but you don't want it to be about the big things. And part of that is how often you do them. And so it's ideally you're a youth group that is on about like getting into the Bible, getting to know Jesus better, fellowshipping with his people and all of that. And you also love the kids by doing awesome big things, but they don't dominate and become the thing. And I've always, I don't know. Like, I mean, maybe that's obvious, but like hearing you articulate it like that, I think that's really wise.
I mean, it's been interesting thinking about as we've been thinking about how we do evangelism in our youth group, that a lot of the feedback from the youth about what would make our youth group more better for evangelism or better for them to bring their friends was about making it more of a place that would be exciting to come to. Which that was the feedback from the younger youth. The feedback from the older youth was about it being a place where they know their friends would be welcomed and cared for. So that stuff, I'm like, yeah, we definitely should work on that. The stuff with the younger ones is about, I think, I mean, some stuff we can just take on board, like some of those, like, just make sure there's food. And like, I'm happy to have food as much as possible because like it's very biblical to eat together. I mean, probably not chips and Coke in the Bible, but there might have been a biblical equivalent. I don't know. But I think trying to like balance that of saying that, you know, what should be attractive about us isn't the really fun stuff we do, but the fact that you'll be welcomed into a community that reflects the love of Jesus in the way that we treat each other, and that should be attractive is more about the long term kind of work that the youth group does. We had two visitors, one from our youth group, one from the visiting youth group, come along, which felt like a big win because, as I mentioned previously, we had one visitor all last year.
Yeah.
If we have no more this year, then we've at least
met the quota.
We're at least exactly where we were last year, but hopefully we'll hit. We'll get a few more coming along at some point. So
good to peak in March already, you know, like good to be moving towards breaking records.
Yeah. If we get a second visitor this year, we'll celebrate 100% growth in our visitors. It'll be amazing. So there you go. There's some reflections. I've got some more things if we've got time at the end that I can talk about, which is youth group related, but not from the actual night. But I want to hear about your youth group, Chris.
Cool. All right. Well, we had the return of a fan favorite night, which is slideshow karaoke, which for the uninitiated is not karaoke in the sense of singing, but karaoke in the sense of getting up and doing what the words tell you to do. And so we had a series of slideshows that I had prepared earlier on ridiculous topics, and kids got up to present them sight unseen. And our reigning champion, who has won the popular vote at both of our last two editions of Slideshow Karaoke, was narrowly defeated in the People's Choice. And I was reflecting on this and I realized, you know, like a lot of it is them, but a lot of it is just the material they had to work with. And so I don't know whether people are paying more attention to the presentation or more, you know, like the delivery, or more attention to the insane things that I put on the slides. But I don't know if you know that. This is very hard to describe in an audio medium, but there is a particular, like, awkwardly smiling old man that is a meme. And I had I discovered that he is a stock photo, and you can find him doing many, many things. and so I created a PowerPoint presentation where he was the inventor of coffee, and each slide was him talking about him and his coffee business and his business partner and all of these things. And I feel like that was me at my peak as a storyteller, and so that could have been what gave this new youth the victory. But he was pretty happy to topple the king, and the king was, I think, legitimately devastated. But a good time was had by all. And it's a funny one because not everyone gets a go, but everyone gets to participate in the sense of watching. And I think not everyone wants a go. And so I think the amount of people who got a go was almost the amount of people who wanted a go. And also one of our new younger youth, who always feels like a bit of a risk with one of these things because you want to help them succeed, not put them up in a position where they're going to be embarrassing. But she absolutely smashed it. And I was like, great, that's the result you want. And so anyway, that was Slideshow Karaoke. Glad to do that one more time.
Can I just ask about the Slideshow Karaoke? In normal karaoke, you pick a song that you know, and then you perform it. In this karaoke, you don't know what's coming in the next slide, do you? Or have you seen the
No, you've seen nothing. You just, like, the first slide says, "Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to present to you," and then you click after having introduced yourself and find out what you would like to present to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so our topics were why ducks are the best animal, things that I think would be so much better if they had human feet, the history of coffee, and then American cereal mascots tier list ranked by color palette, could they beat me in a fight, and would they date Taylor Swift? And I spent more time than I'm proud of photoshopping pictures of Taylor Swift in the same slide as various American cereal mascots. But, you know, is it worth putting in the big effort, Tom? Sometimes. In moderation. Was this one of those times? Perhaps not. But I did it.
And, you know, for those, you know, few seconds that they saw the slides, they were thankful.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Well, if anyone needs some pictures of Taylor Swift and various cereal mascots, send us an email at Chris and Tom's Youth Group Podcast @gmail.com.
The better question, say, if anyone doesn't need it, send us an email.
That's true. Otherwise, we'll just assume
every email we send, we'll just have it attached.
Yeah. I'll just make them my signature. I think that's good. And then we had a talk about, so we're in the middle of our Why Do We Do the Things That We Do series. And this one was about why do we meet together? And it was, yeah, it's interesting with the group of kids that we've got, because a lot of them at this point in the life of our youth group have grown up in church and they're kind of doing it. And the question that was open, that opened the talk, it was, I thought, really helpful, which is, why do you come to youth group? And then, you know, they made a list of all the reasons they love youth group. And then it was like, well, what makes that different to hanging out with your friends in some other setting? And that really, I think, helped them to tease out, oh, okay, there are some distinctives, there are some unique things, and that got the ball rolling on some, I think, pretty good conversation. So we're finishing up that series next week with Why Do We Serve? And I'm not doing that talk. I forget who is. But
Are you finishing up? Is last week the last week of term for you, or do you come back after Easter?
Yeah, so we're doing... Next week, we've got, sorry, this coming Friday, we've got a regular youth group week. And then on Good Friday, we have no youth group because it's Good Friday. And then after that, we are back for one more week for the final one for the term and my final one. And we're doing a special extra extended edition, 6 to 9 instead of 6:30 to 8:30. And we're going to have dinner.
Wow.
And we're going to do some... bonus activities and leave well.
Is there a fancy dress theme? Dress like
there's not.
Chris?
No, we have done a dress up theme and somebody did come dressed as me. And so it has been done. I don't think that's probably necessary this time. It conflicts with our other information, which is dress like you might get wet because... Okay. They might get wet. That
makes sense. Yeah. It'd be a bit difficult to dress like Chris might get wet.
Well, you can just dress up in the same swim as I have, I guess, but it's not a real exciting dress-up theme. It just feels more like having a school uniform. What about you, Tom? What are you doing next week at youth group?
Next week is our last week of term. Well, because in Victoria, we knock off early compared to New South Wales, although we come back before you do as well. So we are, we've got games and dinner. That's pretty much it. And the thing I've been thinking about is we're going to play some games, we're going to eat some dinner. And
hence the name.
Yep, it's going to be like board games, card, you know, the card-based games. And I've been trying to work out whether or not I want to do a little talk or not, or whether I just want to be like, yeah, that's all right. We're just going to hang out. And you'll find out the answer next week. I think I'm leaning to that we just hang out.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. That's the plan.
Great. Good. You said you had some other thoughts on
Youth
group.
I've also got a kid here who seems like he's waking up. So...
Yeah, maybe we save it for the week that there's no youth group for you to talk about.
Yeah, I think I will have forgotten it by then, but that's okay.
Well, do you want to give us the one-liner, and then we can all remember and tell you?
the one-liner is about giving. Oh, I think actually he might be going back to sleep. So I think. So here's what happened, right? So I was chatting to one of my leaders and he expressed to me that I asked him to do a job which I didn't adequately prepare him for, which was very helpful feedback. And then I was at a meeting with other people in children's and youth ministry yesterday, which was being run by Christina. Hello, Christina. She was a listener to the podcast. She's written in
Hello.
Before. Anyway, she was, and she, one of the things she talked about was about having us as people who lead youth ministries being committed to helping those we lead to do the jobs that we give them to do. So we don't just give them a job and say, off you go. And what I was reflecting on out of this was that I tend to lean towards giving people a job and not giving them adequate support to do it. And like I, like part of the reason is because I don't like I feel awkward about like assuming that people don't know what they're doing.
Mm.
Like so on the weekend, I met someone who was like particularly gifted in ministry, and we had a very short chat about ministry, and I said something that was slightly like, I try and do this, but I don't always do it. And then they assumed that, or it felt to me like they assumed I didn't know what I was doing, and then just kind of went into this kind of spiel about how I, you know, just I get things wrong, but if I keep trying it, I'll get things right. Anyway, It felt like in terms of what it did for my pride, I was just like, you don't know me. You don't know what I'm doing. I'm actually pretty good. And like that feeling that kind of, sometimes that I get when people give me unsolicited advice, that makes me feel like they don't think I know what I'm doing, which I shouldn't really care about either way. Like they're not there; it's not important whether they think I'm good at what I do or not. But that kind of the fact that that brings up this feeling in me, like I work hard not to bring that feeling up in other people, but what it does then is it leaves people without adequate support because I'm like, yeah, you'll be fine. I trust you. And what can be in my mind, a sign of trust is a sign of just putting people out to sea and then letting them sink or swim. So I think my reflection is that for me personally, I need to do better at like figuring out the appropriate level of support and clarity that people need. Like one of the things Brené Brown talks about in one of her books about, maybe it's Courageous Leadership. Is that a book that she's written? Feels like a book. Anyway, she talks about what does done look like, and like being really clear about if you were to do this task, what does it mean for this task to be done properly? And so it's not really about assuming that they don't know what they're doing, but helping people know exactly what your expectations are so that everyone's on the same page. And I heard that at the time and I was like, that's a great idea. I remember where I was when I heard it and then I didn't do anything about it. So it's been a good reminder getting this feedback that I need to do a better job at that.
That balance right is, it's really hard because I know how to do it myself and I know how to say, okay, you do it. But in the middle, like between those two extremes is a whole bunch of different like levels of help.
Yeah.
And what each person needs is going to be different. And I think one thing that I'm really needing to grow in, like, you know, I've got at my school where I work, I've gone from being basically the lone chaplain in the junior school to having somebody else that I'm kind of welcoming in and partnering with, and they're new to it. And so, yeah, every day I'm like, where's the line? Because it's not go do it yourself, and it's not I'll just do it for you. It's in the middle, and like deciding, like discerning how much they need. And then like if it was all just like data, it'd be fine. But because we're dealing with people and each person has a different level of comfort for like how much they're going to tell you about what they need. Because like some people, if you're like, let me know if you need anything, like I trust you, but let me know if you need anything. Some people are really good at and really confident to like just come to you and be like, hey, can you show me how to do this?
Yeah.
And other people will not. They'll like keep pressing on, not wanting to like disappoint you, and then like wait till it gets desperate. And so it's it's tricky. Yeah, I've got no solutions, only commiserations.
I think maybe part of it is like making sure like that you're discussing with them like what do you need from me, like in particular, like here are some things that I can offer you. What do you think would be most helpful for you, rather than either assuming that they've got it down pat or assuming they don't have it and then telling them everything. Yeah. Like in this particular circumstance, I had an idea in my head of what I wanted, and I was fairly confident that this leader would be able to do it. And in the end, they did do it and they did a good job. They like figured it out. I said, you can do it. They figured it out, but they wanted a bit more. Mm. And I think probably like that we, if we probably just had a conversation, I said, this is what I'm thinking. How do you think you'd do that? And they said, oh, this is how I'd do it. And then I would say, yeah, sounds good. You got it. Because what they ended up doing was good. Or also giving them a bit more of a heads up. Because I think I told them pretty late in the piece, this is what I'm thinking. Because I was like, oh, it's fairly simple. So part of it's like, as often is the case with issues in leadership, well, issues in relationships, it's about communication. And I didn't do enough communication. And yeah, so just I think communicating and finding out what kind of support do they need that would be helpful and not condescending. Like that's
But I think what I wasn't doing. One of the other challenges there is if, like, anytime you're a leader of leaders, that option is the most costly option in terms of your time and attention and resources. And so, because it's easy to be like, go do it. And it's easier often to just do it yourself than for them to do it, especially for the first time. But the sweet spot of like having the enough conversations, having enough of a dialogue, you know, keeping your door open enough that people can pop in and ask what they need to ask. That's the hardest one. But also it's the way, you know, that like I was talking to someone who like had who was a senior minister and had an assistant minister for the first time. And for the whole first year, he was like, this is dumb. Why would anybody do this? This is like such a time suck. And then, but he stuck in there with it and he didn't articulate it exactly like that because he's not a jerk. But then the second year, it was like still only just neutral. And then by the third year, it was, you know, finally a value add. And I think the same thing is true with like new leaders in youth group. Like it is a time investment to do it well. And I think I have not done it well in the past. And I've defaulted either to like, I'll just do it and you guys show up and be, you know, the other warm bodies in the room for supervision purposes. Or I've been like, okay, that doesn't work. Go do it. And that also doesn't work. And so, yeah, no, I think taking the time to set expectations. And I think what you say about like, hearing them pitch something and you go, yes, I would maybe do this instead of that and that instead of this. But apart from that, yeah, great, go for it. And that feels to me for most things to be about the sweet spot.
The other thing I think that came out of the discussion that I was in yesterday was the suggestion that whenever you do something, you take someone with you who doesn't know how to do it. So then everyone gets trained up. But they don't. It doesn't mean that you then have to do it all. So, like, there are pretty simple things that we do at our youth group every week, which the new people are figuring out, our new leaders are figuring out, and they're doing it. They're watching other people do it. But if I was a bit more proactive, I would have said, all right, the older leaders, make sure you grab one of the newer leaders and show them how to do what you're doing. Like, we've done that in small groups. Like, every small group leader is paired with, there's a more experienced leader and a less experienced leader. I probably haven't talked to the leaders as much as I could or should about actually what's the process is for how you bring a new leader in to figure out how to do leading, like what that process is. But I just have to be more thoughtful about about the way I do it. And that requires thinking further ahead than 5:30 on a Friday afternoon, which is sometimes sometimes when I start thinking about these issues.
And that I think has been like kryptonite for me is that I can pull, like I've been doing this for so many years now and in so many different spheres that like I can pull something pretty decent together right at the last minute. And so that's often what I do. That's terrible modeling and a terrible way to try and get anyone else on board. And I think the model that I think is the most attractive to me is that whole, I do, you watch. I do, you help. You do, I help. And then you do and I watch. And then you're just doing it. That's a big investment. And it requires you to show up earlier than 5:30 with a plan. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's my confession.
Great. And same. Ditto.
we should wrap it up because it's been 45 minutes.
15-minute podcast times three. It's a triple length bonus episode, Tom. Can you do the music for me so that I can sign us out with gusto?
Okay, but everyone, just want to tell everyone that as I do this, whatever you hear, I apologize.
Okay, you got to fade it up, though. Oh, well, there's the music, guys, so I guess we're done. Thank you for listening to Chris and Tom's Youth Group Podcast. To find out more about Tom and all of his goings-on, you can go to tomfriends.com.au. You can also go to tomfriends.com.au/youthgrouppodcast for some more resources that you might find helpful. And if in doubt, send us an email at chrisandtomsyouthgrouppodcast@gmail.com. It's actually really distracting hearing you say that. But anyway,
I don't know how the
thank
song
you.
Ends.
It's nailed it again.
And go to chrismalfi.com.
Don't edit that out. Leave that in.
All right. I might put the real music in at the end for those who are
pop it in now.
Like, I need to, I just need it. And then it's the actually done.
Yeah.